fighting for America.
As your commander-in-chief, I will not commit you and the rest of our armed forces to fighting another ground war in Iraq. They can secure their own country's futures.
Fighting for Idaho.
I think these guys got to realize that they're role models and they can't be doing things like what they're doing today. They need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or banned from the league.
Fighting for you.
Congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
Yes, I like it. These are very much.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm so proud of you.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Proving once again that we do this show without a net. We're looking for former Congressman Stallings. He was scheduled to be here. He put it on his Facebook. We hope that he's okay. And when he rolls in or calls in or we get some word, we'll kind of figure it out. But if Congressman Stallings, former Congressman Stallings, joins us today, great. If not, we'll reschedule. Again, we hope he's okay. And, you know, sometimes these things happen. So it will be you and me. And how do we do that? 580-5436. 580-KIDO. I do want to say thank you very much to Cloverdale Funeral Home for having us out there yesterday. Out there, as if that's a ways. Fairview and Cloverdale, you need to go out and see the American Veterans Traveling Tribute of the Vietnam Wall. It is something that is amazing. And the tribute to the first responders, September 11th and till today, that go out there and fight the bad guys that take care of us when we're not feeling well, right? And I will have to tell you that as a American, I was inspired. And as a talk show host, we have to do better. Our industry has to do better. We have to come up with solutions, not just us versus them, because then we're marginalized, we're narrowed, and we're shifted off to the side, right? That's not the world we live in today. We've got to come up with things. This enormous student debt, the enormous personal debt, the fiscal debt. Maybe we can't do anything about the national debt. Can you imagine the economic impact we're going to have when the rubber hits the road? When the rubber hits the road and all of a sudden these bills come due, boy, a lot of us have had to deal with that on a personal level. As many of you know, and hello to Eddie, hello to Bob, and hello to so many others that I met, Rome as well, that have been with this program from the very beginning here, where I talked about, look, I'm making two house payments. It doesn't look good. I had to get help from my family. You know, when you're over 40 and say, hey, Mom, can you help me out? And your mother busts out her Social Security check to help you. And thankfully, I had that resource. You know, otherwise, I would have joined a lot of people today who are hurting. And this is the issue I have when we talk about the stock market blowing up and it's the greatest thing ever. Well, it's not so great to the 80 or 85% of the Americans that are not in the stock market because they believe the bubble's going to burst. And let's face it, they're smart. They're bleeping smart, considering what happened in 08. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden we see these jobs coming up in the Treasure Valley that when we would drive down Fairview or Overland or any of the major roads, and there'd be no help wanted signs? You know, that's the world we just came out of, right? That's the world we just came out of. And we need to be cognizant of that. But just because it's blowing up for some people, you know, the rest of the country is still reeling. And you know that. I can't imagine what it's like. And I was reading a Business Week last week where you have people in their 60s that are still dealing with student loan debt because when the government wants to get you, just like the IRS, they're going to make sure that they get their money back. You can't default on those things. You can declare bankruptcy. You can get rid of Chase, Visa, and whatever, but you can't get rid of your student loan debt. And today, we can't rely on institutions. We can't rely on the government. We have to rely on ourselves. And whether it's getting out of debt, whether it's making the right choice, we're blessed here in the state of Idaho that we have wonderful, and I do mean this, wonderful public universities that compared to the rest of the country are very affordable. Now, our wages compared to the rest of the country leave something to be desired. But to get that education, now I was talking to a young lady in Fred Meyer a week ago. And she said to me, I said, man, how you doing? She goes, oh, rough. I got this, that, and everything else going on, and I'm taking 13 credits. There has to be a return on investment, and that's where leaders that are running for office need to be like business leaders, need to be like heads of the household and be held accountable if they don't give us or provide for us those economic incentives. And we're not talking about having the government spend money, but it's getting rid of the regulation. You know, some of my personal heroes, and not just because I'm married to one, my personal heroes are the small business folks. Now, a lot of us that hang out and do their own thing, we might look with envy as a small business owner. Oh, they set their own hours. They're the boss. Look, when you're a small business owner, man, you've got the world ahead of you. I mean, let's face it. If you're a small business owner, what's going on with that? Well, you have government regulation, you have government sanction, you have double taxation, you have the big bad booty daddy government, and don't even flinch at the IRS or they'll get you. Man, you know, over your shoulder, and then you're telling your employees, hey, you know, I need to hire good people, and then you're really at the mercy of your customers. So those of you that go out and do that every day, God bless you. Those of you that dream it, please don't give that up, right? That's what we're talking about here. And that's really what government has to determine. Government has to figure out what's next, right? Government has to decide for itself through our encouragement that they're going to run like a household. That's what I'd like to see. And that's why we're dedicating this program to solutions. I do want to remind you, speaking of solutions, when it comes to domestic violence, Foothills Christian Church, this Thursday at 7 o'clock, please join me for a meeting on prevention, proactivity, doing something about a national issue. You just heard from this NFL player that allegedly beat his wife because she didn't want to have sex with him. He's in jail. He's out on jail. And when you think of Ray Rice or Adrian Peterson, we think to ourselves, what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with us? It has a lot to do with us, right? We can stop that here in the Treasure Valley. And if we just enlighten and save one life, whether it's a child or an adult, whether they're 50 or 500 people there, then we've succeeded. We want to thank the folks at Foothills Christian Church. This Thursday at 7 o'clock, we'll have more details at 580kido.com and on Facebook. We go now to former Congressman Richard Stallings. Congressman Stallings, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, where were you?
Well, my alarm did not go off. I said it. I sat there waiting for it to go off this morning, and all of a sudden Seth calls and says, you're late.
You know, that happens a lot. I can relate to that.
Well, it's stupid. I'm... don't usually let that happen, but today I just screwed up, and I apologize.
It's okay, sir. Let's talk a little bit about you.
All right.
All right? It's either talk about you or talk about me. Which would you prefer?
Well, I better talk about me, since the folks have probably heard a little bit more about you.
Thank you, sir. You know, you served the 2nd Congressional District for quite some time, from 85 to 93. You have a life. It appears you're doing well. Why jump back into the cesspool of politics?
Well, you know, when I was there for the 8 years, things ran pretty well. We got a lot done. I passed several laws. I worked hard for the people of Idaho. And then I left, and the place went to hell. Now, I'm sorry if I can't say that on your radio show, but the place sort of fell apart. And some people blame me. They said, if you hadn't left, this government would still be working. And so I thought, well, maybe I've got a responsibility to go back and be the adult in the room. And so I've jumped back in this and having a good time. I've been kind of gratified by the way people have remembered me and the response to my candidacy, and so I'm in this for a variety of reasons. One, that I think the primary between Smith and Simpson was so repulsive that it turned a lot of people off to government, and frankly, we can do better than that. And so I'm going to give them a choice.
Well, sir, you've been in the arena. You understand what you're up against. And as Mr. Smith found out, Congressman Simpson's a formidable opponent. How do you see that breaking down, you know, and unlike a lot of folks, whether they're represent us or not from Idaho, he does at least, if nothing else, have the appearance of taking care of the 2nd Congressional District.
Well, as a matter of fact, he hasn't, but that is sort of one of the myths that he perpetuates. I've talked to Brian Smith a number of times, and he was so distraught after that campaign, the fact that Simpson was so blatant in his misrepresentation of Brian's record. And Brian is, well, he's not supporting me, and by no means am I saying that he's endorsing me. He said the difference between myself and Simpson is I'm honest. And that's going to be one of the issues in this campaign. Who's going to tell you the truth? Who's going to let you know how things are? I made that my reputation when I was there before. I didn't lie to people. And I am now in this race because I believe that if people want some change, then I'm going to be that agent of change. Because right now the nation hates Congress. They destroy their image. You know as well as I did that if you only had a 14% approval rating, they'd be looking for someone else to host that show. That's what Congress has, right?
Yes.
I mean, Congress has a 14% approval rating. They get nothing done. They spent the last 2 years wasting our taxpayer money, doing absolutely nothing. This is, by all accounts, the worst Congress in the history of our nation. They have set new records for being bad. And so I tell people, you know, if you like what Congress is doing, if you're one of the 14%, then stay with Simpson, because he's admitted this. He will give you 2 more years of nothing. I will make some things happen. I will work on minimum wage, get that changed. I will do immigration reform and have some changes there. I will work on behalf of women and the idea of receiving equal pay for equal work. And I will work on student issues, such as letting them refinance their student loans, for heaven's sakes. None of these are rocket science. None of these are impossible to do. There are votes for all of these to be had if you had some leadership. And right now, the Simpson-Boehner trap is just destroying hundreds of thousands of Idahoans or making their life more miserable. And I think that needs to be changed. And so I'm in this now. If people are happy, then you're right. Simpson's going to be formidable. But if people want change, and I think they do, then I will be that agent.
Well, let me hit you with this. Are you saying Congressman Simpson is not honest?
I'm not saying anything about his honesty. I'm saying that he doesn't tell the truth. I think that he has put his whole desire for reelection above that which is right and true. For example, when he blasted and spent $5.5 million on Smith, calling him a debt collector who goes after widows and goes after veterans, that is just pure garbage. He knew it. We all knew it. And yet, why would you say that? Well, you want to do it because it's a personal attack on someone. I had Brian as a student in class when I was teaching up at Rick's. He was a nice kid. I'm not sure where I went wrong because he's off the wall on some issues. But he deserves being treated with respect and be treated honestly. And when Simpson spends that kind of money to demean him and to personally destroy him, then there's something totally wrong with the system. I had a school teacher come up to me. She said, I have fourth grade kids. What do I tell my kids about Congress? I tell them it's broken. Simpson is proud of a broken our congressional system. And I think it's wrong, and I'm going to try to make it right. So one of the issues in this campaign is going to be honesty. Who's going to tell you the truth? Who's going to be transparent? Who's going to say things as they are? And you're not getting that from the incumbent.
Let me hit you with this real quick, and then we'll get to traffic. But, you know, the Smith-Simpson race was probably the most brutal that we've seen in Idaho, probably one of the most brutal in the country. What happens if they do the same to you?
Well, I expect they will. I've been sort of going through my closet, seeing what kind of skeletons I have back there that they can beat up on me. Now, I don't collect debts from widows, so they can't use that. I don't know what they're going to do. One of the reporters said, Stallings, your problem is you're boring. You don't have a lot of baggies that they can whack you with. And I think that's sort of true. I think my wife has been very kind to put up with me for 51 years because this is sort of a bland guy here that doesn't get himself into trouble. I stay away from men's rooms in Minnesota. I don't put my hand in the government till to personally benefit from it. And so I've left with pretty good numbers and pretty good response from people. So I don't know, but when you don't worry about the truth, then anything's fair, and I guess that's what they will do. They'll come up with some nasty piece of rhetoric or garbage that they will throw at me, and if people don't recognize that I've served with 8 years and have never lied to them and have maintained integrity, then it may work against me. I don't know. The advantage he has, and I'll give him this, he's got a ton of money. We don't. And so if it comes to dollar for dollar, he'll win easily because I don't have anywhere near that kind of money. But
right, but you did mention that. Well, I have to hit you with this here at 580KIDO. Men's rooms in Minnesota?
What I'm saying is my personal life is very boring. I don't go out and hit on women or men. I just mind my own business. I'm loyal to my wife. I have not had a lot of extracurricular activities. I have just been Richard Stallings, former college professor at Ricks College, former housing director in Pocatello.
Why is that important to you? And do you believe, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, sir, that we have lost our moral compass in America?
I don't think the people have. I think the politicians have. I think when we have senators that will vote for gang rape, I think that when we have people that will vote very much against the interests of the people of the district, you have 176,000 people living in poverty in this state because they won't raise the minimum wage. Now, Simpson did not have any problems voting to raise the minimum wage when he was there during the Bush administration. But now he refuses to vote for it because somehow it'll hurt the economy. That is nonsense, and he knows it. And yet he's hurting these single moms, these middle-aged moms, these people that are trying to struggle on $7.25 an hour. And I think, yeah, you've lost your moral compass when your goal is to try to make lives better and you inflict pain and suffering on your constituents. The moral compass has been set aside.
Let's talk more coming up with former Congressman.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Live at KIDO, former Congressman Richard Stallings with us as he attempts to go back to Capitol Hill at 580KIDO. Now, a lot of folks in Idaho have issues with the president. Is that going to be tough for you on the campaign trail and your thoughts on the administration?
Yeah, I know that the president is not very well thought of in Idaho and in other parts of the country. And if he were on the ballot, I would be very nervous, but I'm not running against him. I'm running against Mr. Simpson. I am not particularly happy with some of Obama's decisions. But I've never been a solid party man. I voted for Reagan probably as many times as I voted against him. I will do the same. I had a staffer tell me that I was the hardest congressman he ever worked for. He'd worked for both Democrats and Republicans. And he said, the difference is this liberal Democrat out of Connecticut that he worked for just waited until the whip's office called, then he voted and he was sold. And the conservative Republican he worked for out of Indiana did exactly the same thing. He just vote party line. Kevin, I've never done that. He said, you're tough on us because we have to justify every vote. You have to figure out how these votes will affect the people you represent. And he said, that's the way we should do it. But you're the only one that's ever made us do it. And I will continue to work that way. I don't see myself as some kind of wild-eyed Democrat. I never did when I was back there. I supported the Democratic caucus because I couldn't abide by some of the things that was going on the other side. And right now, there is no National Republican Party. I mean, you've got Ted Cruz's party, and you've got Rand Paul's party, and there's some folks that follow Boehner. But you can't tell me who the national spokesman of the Republican Party is because they have no party, they have no national agenda, and they just are sort of an unruly mob back there. If you don't believe that, just ask Boehner. He has to put up with them on a regular basis. So I'll go back and I'll do what's good for Idaho. And if the Democrats aren't happy with me, they can tell me so. If the Republicans are mad at me, then they will tell me so. But, hey, I'm not going back to represent them. I'm going back to represent the people in the 2nd District of Idaho. And what I did before, you know, when I ran the first time in 84, I ran against a guy with 4 felony convictions. And he barely beat me. I won by about 60 votes election night. I did expand that to 170. So I went back as landslide stalling. But I put aside the partisan stuff. And I voted for the people of the 2nd District of Idaho. And I think that's why I was successful. And I think that's why I was reelected by 52% in the next election and 60% in the third election and 66% in my fourth election. So
my work demonstrated that I was very well suited for this district, and I will do the same thing. Now, if I had a 14% approval rating, I'd quit. If I put aside my moral compass just for the purpose of reelection, then I'm not in the place where the people need to have someone. So I'm going to go back and do an independent Democratic position. I'm not going to be a stooge of Nancy Pelosi. In fact, I'm not sure I'll vote for her if they win the majority. I can't vote for Boehner, so I may end up for Speaker voting for myself because I'm not very happy with Congress. I'm one of those folks that think that they're doing an awful job, and I will try. And I can't go back and say, well, I'll vote for the Democrats if I think they're as guilty as the Republicans of screwing this thing up. So I'm going to be an independent Democrat back there that votes for people of Idaho, not for some party hack.
Former Congressman Stallings with us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Congressman, the next time you're in the area, let's have you in and let's talk some more.
I would be honored to be back on your program. You do a great service to people of Idaho. Well, I don't agree with a lot of your positions, as you don't mind. We're very honest, and I believe, Kevin, that we can disagree without being disagreeable. I think I can respect your views, your way of life, and your ideas, and probably learn from them because you've got some very, very good principles that you work from. And I'm honored to be on your program. I'd be back in a heartbeat.
We'd love to have you. And look, I'm refreshed by your candor, so thank you.
Well, that's me. I sometimes say things that get me in trouble, but what you see is what you get from me, Kevin.
Good luck and safe travels.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. There you have it, former Congressman Stallings at 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us for the Manly Man segment. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, here we are, another Monday, another week of pro football, college football, another threats from ISIS. Where do we begin?
Not just another Monday, Kevin. The last day of summer.
Yeah. Not a favorite of yours. A favorite of mine, I would say.
Yeah, we're very opposite ends on that one. I was looking at some of the trees turning colors going, oh, yeah, not ready for it. Not ready for it.
The tough part is I live in a house now that has trees.
Nice!
So, we're out there raking leaves and stuff, and oh my gosh. But, this is Kevin Miller season, and how depressed I am around March or April when you and Ray and I are ready for these long days. I can't wait for the short days, the long nights. Finally, I'll be able to get a night's sleep.
Yeah, by, 8 o'clock now, it's dark.
Yeah, 0 dark 30. I like it.
Yeah. But nonetheless, boy, it was just a busy weekend. Gunfighter Sky and Mountain Home, Fit One celebration in Boise, thousands of people walking in the street. Boise State Bronco football, homecoming parades. It was lots of activities and lots of pro football yesterday. So there was no lack of things to do around the Treasure Valley.
Indeed. Of course, nationally, we've got ISIS issuing another threat. And quote unquote, we'll share this coming up next hour. They say, they quote, oh, America, oh, its allies, oh, the filthy French, because the French have actually started bombing them.
Yeah.
And the president making the rounds on Friday going again and again, I mean it this time, I mean it this time, we will not put troops on the ground. And you have generals saying, well, you're probably going to have to.
Yeah, I was just listening to a report on the way in to work this morning, and they're just talking about, is it possible for us to gain the ground we need and win the ground we have without putting boots on the ground? And these people basically, military experts saying, nope, not possible. Hmm. There has to be something to contain it, and our allies aren't going to do it, and other Arab states are not going to do it.
Here's the other thing that gets me is, between this real-life threat that we have, now there's another group that's even more deadly than ISIS, that even will be a bigger threat. We have this nitwit that ran from the fence into the open portico, I guess, at the White House.
Yeah.
And now you think about it, you go to the White House, it's a scary place. You have people with guns and you have people on the roof. And this guy just runs in there, no guards, no tackling. What if he had a body bomb or something like that?
Yeah, well, actually, I think there were two incidents. There's somebody else who drove a vehicle up and put it in the place. I mean, there was two incidents over the weekend at the White House, and both are being deemed, people with some mental issues. Maybe that is the case, but man, you just have to sit back and go, what is going on with that?
Right, right.
So
Well, you know, the president was leaving on the other end, so the Secret Service was distracted. Oh, really?
Well, that's not good. That is not good at all. So I guess they're reviewing White House security today.
Yeah, Secret Service taking it on the chin, if you will. But how secure are we, considering our borders are open and we have Jimmy running through the White House there? Are we not giving these terrorists ideas?
Well, I don't think we have to give them ideas. I think they have the ideas already. I think some of this stuff has been put in place, and they're just kind of working toward it. I think we do catch. I think our systems do catch more than we're aware of. At least I hope that's the case. I'm hoping that's the case. But yeah, just how open a society. And I don't want to see us not be an open society. Understand me on that. I don't want to live in a lockdown country. But you still have to kind of, I don't know, you have to wonder some of the stuff that goes on here.
Well, some of the stuff that doesn't go on here.
Well, yeah, either way.
You were running around, so I was sitting here hanging out, because really, we don't really work here. We just kind of hang out and watch TV and type on the computers and that sort of thing. So Friday, I'm watching Goodell's press conference, and you can check out my reaction to it. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. That's my email, silly rabbit. But at 580KIDO.com, did you get a chance to see Goodell meet the press?
I listened to the press conference and was not impressed with Roger Goodell. I'm sorry. These folks are protecting the nest egg. They're protecting the money. If you think for half a second that NFL owners are concerned about Ray Rice, are concerned about this, that they're saying, come on, let's put this behind us, let's make money. And Roger Goodell's their guy to do that.
Well, yeah, of course.
So, it's all about the money. It's as simple as that.
But I think the media is being totally unfair to Roger Goodell because people are saying he should resign. Well, Roger Goodell didn't beat his wife. Roger Goodell didn't beat his kid. Roger Goodell may or may not have seen the video, and now you have this new report saying the Ravens urged the commissioner, and let's face it, the Ravens are his boss. He works for the owners to help them out with Ray Rice. So he's taken one for the team. The Today Show did a big survey, and 85% of the people, although don't agree with what happened, support Roger Goodell, support the NFL. So I think that the commentators, the sports commentators, mm-hmm. are going nuts. And then you have Mark Schlereth going, he needs to take care of these young men. No! Your employer doesn't have to take care of you. If you're a hoodlum, a thug, a malcontent, you shouldn't be working for that place.
Well, I think the criticism of Roger Goodell, I mean, at least in my mind, is the lack of real investigation and action that it took when the information about Ray Rice came up, and the kind of, well, we'll give him a 2-game suspension. Whoops. Maybe the whole season. Investigate this stuff a little more thoroughly.
Well, then you have Teddy Bruschi going, well, he should step down. Okay. I'm sorry, Teddy, as a Patriots fan, Spygate stunk. It ruined the franchise. Okay. All it is bitter players that don't like to be accountable, getting payback on the commissioner. You remember Pac-Man Jones? He slapped women all the time in Tennessee. It was in the paper. He was in, remember the original Let's Make It Rain in Vegas, where that poor security guard, the bouncer, lost the use of his legs in the shooting that happened out there? The league was a thug league when Paul Tagliabue was there. Goodell's cleaned it up, but now these players and former players have an agenda. They want to get him.
Yeah, oh, I think they do. I think there is an agenda, but I also think I mean, there's a certain accountability because, again, look at Ray Rice. He was a role model in that community, but yet, and I guarantee you that what happened in that casino elevator, that wasn't the first time that had happened. I don't think you start out by slugging your fiance in the face.
You mean Mrs. Rice now?
Yes.
And if you're Mrs. Rice, you get popped, and then you marry the guy?
Yeah.
Does that send?
That's just a horrific message. Yeah. It's a horrific message on both sides. So I guess what's happened is these NFL players have kind of been exposed. You know, they've kind of been exposed for who they are. But out of the negative of all this, take the positive and the fact that it is shedding light on the fact that that there is domestic abuse. There is child abuse going on. We had a case of a murder-suicide this weekend here in the Treasure Valley. What's being investigated, I should say, is a murder-suicide. A case of, you know, that's the ultimate case of domestic violence. That it continues not only amongst the rich and the wealthy, but it continues amongst, you know, those in need. There, you know, it knows no economic boundaries.
Well, the airman in Mountain Home that was sentenced for beating a child to death.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes on, and you have these men that sleep with these women, and these women leave their kids with these men, and all of a sudden they've had some, and maybe not in this one case, but in several cases we've seen, have a violent past, and all of a sudden a little baby is dead.
Yeah, and you know, we hear the stories, and they're horrific every time we hear them. What do we do? You know, how do you respond? What do we do?
Well, glad you asked. Coming up this Thursday, we will be at Foothills Christian Church rallying against domestic violence, rallying against child abuse, and coming together as a community. And we want to thank the folks at Foothills Christian Church again this Thursday at 7 for providing us their facility where we're going to talk to experts and we'll talk to people there. I cannot believe how many people that listen to this program that have been victims of abuse. And you can come out. We can come out for guns. We can come out for this. This is going to be a very tough sell, and I understand that. But we have to send the message that we just don't watch it on TV. We just don't listen to the radio. We have to send the message, enough is enough.
No, I completely agree. And I think, you know, it's kind of shining that spotlight on a very dark portion of our society, whether it's child abuse, whether it's spousal abuse, or sometimes it just goes hand in hand. As far as men bullying, and I'll say this, it goes the other direction as well. There are those times where there's, you know, there's women that will bully men, but for the most part, because of the physical domination, because of the testosterone, it's a male issue.
It is indeed. So we'll see how that breaks out. And, you know, it is, you know, these stories are not just national stories. It can happen here. And how many people go back to it? We want to thank our friends with the Boise Rescue Mission that are helping us put that together. We talked about that over the weekend, and it's just amazing when you see these folks that come back from the abuse and have made their lives better. Easier said than done, though.
Yep. So keep mark your calendar, and you know, if you're somebody that you're in support of shining the spotlight on domestic abuse, whether it's child or whether it's spousal, make plans of coming out, spend a little bit of time, educate yourself, or if you're reaching out for help, there would be people there that you could reach out to help for at the event. So you know, mark Thursday as a time to do that.
Yeah, we would love to see you. We would love to see that as we roll along. 5:49 here at 580KIDO, Dave Burnett, Kevin Miller. Let's talk a little bit about the issue involving ISIS. What do you make of this thing?
Well, there's a lot of talk going on. I know on the Sunday morning talking shows, there's a lot of talk going on, you know, as far as what our president's plans are, how he wants to attack it. I think he probably wishes that he could just go to bed and it all go away when he got up in the morning. But
right.
He's got issues here. I mean, it's like trying to herd cats. It's a problem. And because it's kind of been neglected because of the vacuum created by our, you know, by our actions, it's a mess. How's that for summarizing?
Well, and the fact that they continue to be emboldened, that they're not stopping. And they believe they've called us out and that we won't stop, or they won't stop until we're destroyed. And I don't think that we understand that.
Yeah, and I go back to that comment that was made by the one, the leader of ISIS that was being held at Gitmo as he left and told the guards, see you in New York. I think that is their thoughts and plans.
Well, do you think because we live in such an overly caffeinated, highly distracted society that, you know, we've just kind of, oh, yeah, September 11th, oh, yeah, until it hits us again?
I hate to say this, but I think, and I have to clump myself in this, as Americans, we tend to get numbed to two things. I mean, there was a time where to see violence on TV, to see somebody shot and murdered on TV, it was no big deal. I was watching a TV show last night. I was like, man, that's really graphic, and that's primetime TV. There was a time where that just wasn't going to be shown. Now it's like, yeah, no big deal. You become numb as you see more and more of it. You become numb to it. It's like, oh, yeah, they shot a guy on TV.
Okay. Kind of like two guys kissing.
Yeah. The more you see it, the less your response. Like, okay, whatever.
So is it education, entertainment, or indoctrination?
Yes. It's entertainment indoctrination. Mm-hmm. There's no better way to indoctrinate somebody than by doing it through entertainment.
Right.
I mean, that's the best way to do it. Nobody wants to sit down and get spoon-fed indoctrination, but if you can entertain me while I do it, I'm just numb to it. So, yeah, I think, unfortunately, it comes to the point that, something bad's going to have to happen to wake us up again, and I just hate that. I hate that about myself.
You know, hanging out at the wall with those folks, I ran into some of the folks from the 116th, some of the folks that invited us along on that great adventure we had. And talking to them both, not on the air, but off the air, they said, look, we knew this was going to happen when we were there. We knew this was going to happen. Those guys weren't ready.
Yeah. Got to do this, though. Get you ready for work this morning. Traffic now as you're coming out of Canada.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO coming up, Nagmaid Abedini, the latest on her husband, Pastor Saeed, what you can do to help. Big rally coming up around the world to bring Saeed home. Let's make that happen. Time for traffic now. You're listening to 550-559. I love this from Steve in Caldwell, talking about the mainstream and saying, Kevin, you don't need any coverage on your big win. You are the mainstream. Well, thank you. Well, it's really our win, but we appreciate that, Steve. Coming up, the latest concerning ISIS. They've got a new threat out. Is it just more of the same? When will we wake up? Let's hope before work starts this morning, right? Good morning, 580 KIDO.